After decades of discussion, some legal wrangling, a congressional action, and a president's signature, the $600 million plus St. Croix River Crossing Bridge project is under construction. And this hour, this hour, we'll be joined by two DOT planners from Minnesota and Wisconsin to talk about what's happening with the bridge construction and the construction of the highways that will lead up to the new bridge, linking St. Joseph, Wisconsin, and Oak Park Heights, Minnesota. That's the first half hour. Then after that, we're going to talk with local government officials about what they're doing on the Wisconsin side to prepare for expected growth. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us. This is the West Side. A beautiful Monday morning out there. Joining me in studio are the two men playing very big roles with the St. Croix River Crossing project and the approach work. First, I'd like to introduce Kevin Western. Kevin is the design director for the St. Croix River Crossing Bridge project with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for being here. Next, I'd like to welcome Tim Mason. Tim is the Northwest Region Project Supervisor for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and he's keeping a close eye on all the construction that's happening on the Wisconsin side of the border leading up to the bridge, the approach work, the highway redirecting. Tim Mason, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And listeners, we'd like you to join the conversation as well. If you've got a question about the construction of the bridge itself, just have some general questions about maybe mitigation or what have you, the number is 800-228-5615 to give a call and ask these experts. The number is 1-800-228-5615. And again, coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Brett Bougereau of St. Croix County. He's the planner there. We're also going to be talking with Agnes Ring. She's a county board supervisor who lives in the town of St. Joseph. And we'll talk with Mike Darrow, city administrator for New Richmond. Again, 800-228-5615. So, Kevin, first off, a very basic question. This construction has been ongoing for about a year, a lot of different phases in this thing. Where are we at now? What's the big news for right now?
Where we are right now, we let the second piece of our bridge construction project in December. Ames-Lunda is the contractors that are building the bridge. We did some early procurement of some materials, some piling. That is what a lot of the construction that's been going on up to this point in time on the Minnesota side of the river. There are several piers on that side. You'll see a number of those projecting up into the sky. Now, they're about 40 to 50% complete with those piers. One of the other main things for them to get out onto the river and build off of the starter segments that were constructed this last summer. And they've been able to get out there, even though with the high water that we had in the very cold winter,
right,
been able to get out on Pier 8, which is close to the Wisconsin shore, and be able to build a causeway out to that pier. Hmm. They've had two concrete pours. They've got another one that's going to be made before they'll be getting up to the pier. And you'll see some steel false work that's going to be going in place at that period of time. And then there's a very large piece of concrete that'll be cast on top of those pier columns that will support the majority of the box segments that will get erected.
Yeah,
to them.
That's a lot of engineering speak.
Sorry.
I'll tell you that much. let's just talk about these foundations. Just there's some mind-boggling numbers that go into just them. We're talking about piling down a tube, for the lack of better terms, into the bedrock, which is like under 25 feet of water, 87 or so feet of muck. You got some soft sandstone. I mean, it's really intense.
That's correct. And those were all built last summer by Kramer. That was the contractor that did that work.
Mm-hmm.
Under each of those piers, there are eight of those shafts that get placed down into the rock. So they had to go through the water, the soft material. They had to remove all that material and then fill them with concrete and steel to help support the bridge.
And the muck, was that a surprise or for the planners at all?
No, that was not a surprise. We had some early foundation borings that were taken in that area, so we knew what the makeup of the material was.
Okay. I do remember that there was that maybe before any of the borings were done, it wasn't known how deep that muck was, though, right?
We had an idea how deep the muck was. We didn't know how good the rock was down below the muck.
Gotcha. So total number of these foundations and piers that we're going to be seeing eventually?
There will be 5 piers in the river, and there will be another 8 piers locations throughout the rest of the bridge, one on the Wisconsin side, the remainder on the Minnesota side.
Okay. And so the as far as the bridge work, I mean, we talked about box sections, and I think that's a pretty cool thing, too. Like over 1,000 different boxes that will be going together to that?
1,000.
Like Legos.
1,000 pieces of Legos would be a good way to term it. Those segments, even though they're Legos, they're very big. They're about 43 feet wide and about 10 feet long and about 18 feet deep.
And so, about how heavy?
And they're about 180 tons a piece.
Wow.
So very, very large. They are going to be cast down on the Mississippi. There's a casting site that the contractor selected. So they will be put on barges and shipped up, hopefully some of them late this fall. The majority of them will be done next year.
So we're talking, we got the footings, we got the foundations, we got the tower. Then there's going to be kind of a pier that'll be built in between the towers, right?
Yes.
And then from there, you're going to hoist.
We'll lift. There'll be a lifting mechanism that is installed on top of the piers, and they will lift the segments from the water, from these barges, and lift them up into place. Mm-hmm. And then connect them back in place with steel, high-strength steel rods or strand that will hold each of those segments up.
This box design and approach, is this something new? Because I guess I haven't been following much bridge construction in my life, but it seems like a novel idea.
Yeah, the technology has been around for 40, 50 years.
Okay.
In Minnesota, we put in about 3 or 4 different projects that we've utilized this type of structure. The box part, not the cable parts that go with it,
right,
but the concrete boxes we have utilized before. 35W is a example of a bridge project that would have something similar.
But this cable aspect to the bridge is something that is unique. It will be unique to Minnesota and Wisconsin, won't it?
And actually to the United States. So it will be the second extra dose type bridge in the U.S.
The first in the continental. The other one's up in
Connecticut is the first.
Oh, I thought it was Alaska for some reason. So what does extra dose mean?
Extra dose, there's a couple ways to think about it. If you've seen a cable stay bridge, the cables come off a very tall tower. And the cables basically hold up the bridge and hold up the traffic. Extra dose bridges are a little bit different. It helps hold up a little bit of the load, but most of the load still goes through the superstructure, the concrete box itself. Mm-hmm. So that's where the difference is, but it's more efficient than having the cables inside the box because you can have them much deeper. Also, the looks, the aesthetics of the cables are very important, and that's part of why this type of bridge was selected.
And wasn't there an argument made for this design having to do with mitigation as well?
That played into it. There was a discussion of the more of the plain concrete box, a cable stay, or the extra dose. And the extra dose was picked. The towers, they liked the tower look, but they didn't want them as tall as it would be a cable stay. And so that was a big selling point for the stakeholder group.
All right. Now, the one thing that everybody, gets riled up about is traffic jams and then detours and construction, the two seasons being winter and construction season, I guess. So what's going to be happening on the Wisconsin side of the river, Tim Mason?
Yeah, thank you. We currently have a project right now with H. James that they're doing the grading from the bluff to County Highway E. And then included in that project as well is the bridge of Highway 35 overpass over the new alignment of 64.
Right. And the grading up to the bluff, you're talking about where the bridge will actually kind of meet?
Correct. Yeah, when I say from the bluff, that's where the we have one pier and then the abutment on our side of where the new bridge will meet the Wisconsin approach is what we call it. So.
Okay, and that's the abutment and all that's not there yet, right?
Correct. Likely they'll start this summer. You'll start to see some work on the Wisconsin Bluff. The contractor that Kevin had talked about will be doing some work up there and preparing that site for the pier and the abutment work.
And so 64 is going to really kind of wind through some new areas, right? And why not have the 64 come down along the shore and then take a quick right onto the bridge or something like that?
The way the we're looking to have a freeway cross section, so it will connect from the bridge to the existing 4-lane freeway that we currently have that goes from 150th Avenue to New Richmond. So we'll complete that segment in between there.
Okay. And I was always wondering why did they stop there with the four lanes, where it went down to two? I just never, was that in anticipation for something like this coming up?
I think eventually they had, the long range plan was to connect it. But they didn't know when the St. Croix Crossing project would eventually, happen. So,
right. So for the locals, what kind of, I know there will be a detour. It doesn't seem like it'll be that big of a detour, but what kind of folks and what cities are going to be impacted by just having to drive a different direction, I guess?
Sure. We currently have the detour in place right now. It went into place in the middle of March while we build the Highway 35 bridge, and so that will be completed sometime in July. So we're actually getting pretty close this week. They should be setting girders for that bridge. They've got the abutments poured. So it's on a pretty tight timeline. The detour right now uses County V and County E to get around Highway 35. So anybody that's traveling kind of that north-south corridor, you know, between Hudson and and Holton there is gonna be impacted by that construction and that detour route.
Right. And what about noise? I know that this new highway, or the new twist of it, will go near elementary school, and also, you know, there's some residential areas that it'll be going through. I remember seeing on the website that a lot of the construction, at least with the pilings, they wanted to get it done before the windows came open. And I was just wondering, what about noise for the local residents? Because a lot of backing up, I imagine, with tractors and whatnot.
Yeah, during the construction season, there will be some noise along the construction project. And then once it's finally constructed and the roadway opens, I mean, it is through new alignment that the entire segment. So it will be new for all the residents in that area. Mm-hmm. So far, we haven't had too many issues as far as noise problems out there. The bridge that we built on Highway 35 is actually on spread footings, which doesn't require piling, so that you didn't hear the, you know, what you were talking about when MnDOT was doing their pile driving.
And spread footings, what does it look like? Like
just a large piece of concrete buried deep, and so it spreads the weight out on this footing rather than driving down piles, whether it's columns or I-beam, but it spreads the weight out, and so you don't have to drive those piles. So they haven't heard any pile driving on our side yet, although they will be when they start doing Pier 13 and the abutment. Those require piles.
Right. And as to that effect, Kevin, how long does it take to drive one of these things down? Because we're talking, it's got to travel a long way.
The piles do, and it depends which pier you're talking about. We've had some piles that are only 35 to 40 feet long. As Tim mentioned, the Pier 13 and the Wisconsin abutment, those piles are about 150 feet long. And so it will take a bit of time. Some of them take up to a day of pile driving. I think we're probably more in the order of about 3 hours per pile.
Because they only, every time it gets smacked by that heavy weight, they only go down like an inch or something?
Actually, at the end of drive, it takes about 100 blows to move 1 inch.
Wow.
That's what we're trying to get it to. But the early on when you're placing it, it goes maybe a foot at a time.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what gives you your capacity in those piles.
And as back to the Wisconsin side, I know that there's a lot of attention being paid, again, to the mitigation. A lot of people are concerned about, you know, stormwater runoff or even during the construction, sediment getting off of there. Is there any kind of special steps, Tim, that are being taken above and beyond normal construction to make sure that there isn't, you know, sediment from the side of the bluff spilling into the river, et cetera?
Sure. For the majority of the project, it's the standard. The drainage actually flows from Highway 35. It flows away from the bluff on the east side of Highway 35. So we're really talking about a pretty tight constraint on where the water would potentially flow down the bluff. And we've been working very closely with the DNR and with MnDOT on what we've done there. We've actually, anytime we open up dirt over there, we look at trying to cover it with plastic if there's any potential for rainfall. And we've got other erosion control items that we have on the project to help control that.
And for stormwater, are there, because part of the plan is also to build a few different retention ponds. Is that the right term for it?
Sure. Yep. We actually just finished what we call the bridge pond, which is right near that Highway 35 overpass. H. James has completed that pond, and then they've also topsoiled all the slopes as well to stabilize those slopes so we don't have any erosion on it.
Right. Listeners, we're talking about the St. Croix River Crossing Project. Construction has been underway for about a year now, and there's some happenings on the Wisconsin side of the border. A lot of happenings have been happening on the Minnesota side. If you've got a question or a comment for either Tim Mason or Kevin Western, DOT planners from Wisconsin and Minnesota respectively, give us a call at 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. Overall, so any kind of surprises, or are you guys so cold and calculated that you have everything figured out? Kevin, anything that caught you guys off guard or that made us stretch something out a little bit or timelines?
And I don't know that we've had any surprises that have hit us that finding standpoint. I think going through some permitting things have taken us a little bit longer than what we had thought or hoped. The contractors always have a different way that they want to do some things, and so they wanted to change some processes which needed to go back through the permitting agencies. So that takes a little bit more time. But otherwise, the contractor is doing a great job. They're moving along briskly. We're maybe a little bit behind schedule, but we're very close. After this cold winter we had and wet now on the river, we see that they're moving along the way they should. So we're pretty confident they'll be done by the fall of 2016.
And for anybody that's interested in this kind of construction of a mega project, I don't know what the official definition of a mega project is, but this is a large project. Cool website, MnDOT has. What's the website for that? St. Croix River Crossing Project? I just Google it and I find it.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I don't have it in the top of my head, sorry.
Right. Well, there's a live webcam. There's a lot of footage, photos and stuff, and it's pretty interesting if you're a kind of a novice engineering nerd like me. But what about on the Wisconsin side of the river? Any surprises? I know it wasn't a surprise it was planned for, but there was some relocation of some mussels or something that had to be done. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, we did have to do some additional work there. I think this project has kind of been in the planning stages for so long, kind of adding to what Kevin said. That
like decades.
Yes. I mean, I think it started in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a whole lot of surprises in that regard. But, you know, anytime something changes to the plan, you know, just that timeline to get approvals and the approval process to do something like that, it does add to the timeline.
Yeah, yeah. And just the fact that it, you know, required congressional action and the signature from the president was, that's unique in and of itself. But because it is, you know, it's a federally protected waterway, the St. Croix River itself, does that, I mean, there's a lot of agencies that you have to deal with when you're building a project like this. Anyway, does this throw on a whole new layer for you guys, Kevin, Western?
And it did. Part of, as we were building the first segments of the project, we made sure that water quality was as utmost important to the contractor, whether it was treating any water that was coming off of concrete that they were curing or areas that they were accessing to the river to make sure that the water was being collected and treated. One of the pieces as you were building these shafts for the piers in the river, we have a lot of water that comes off that operation.
Right.
All that water had to be taken off-site, treated, before it was released back into the river. So they did a very good job of not just pulling that water out and dumping it back into the river, actually taking it, treating it, actually having less turbidity and less contaminants than the river actually had now.
So turbidity, contaminants, we're talking getting the sediment out of there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And what happens with the, you know, there's a lot of muck and gravel and whatnot that come up too. What happens to that?
Same with that. That was put on barges, made sure we didn't drop it back into the water, and then it was taken off site and disposed of, actually on a location off of the Wisconsin 64.
Gotcha. We've got a phone, we've got a caller on the line right now. Jim from Osceola is on the line. Jim, what's your question?
Thank you. With all the digging that's gone on, have there been any archaeological finds on either side of the river?
Good question. Kevin?
Actually, the only piece that we found, there were a couple of beer bottles from the Wolf Brewery, and I don't remember the dates again, but it was maybe 1920s, 1930s, and we turned those over to the Historical Society. But besides that, nothing else has been found.
No grave sites or anything like that?
No. Nope, or
mounds?
Or Indian, some
burial mounds,
Indian burial
right.
sites? No, nothing like that.
What about on the Wisconsin side?
No, we just started our project pretty much in March this year, and so we haven't discovered any archaeological items as of yet, so...
All right, Jim. Thanks for the thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye.
And if anyone else wants to try to squeeze in a last-minute call for our guests this first half hour, we've got Tim Mason with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Kevin Western of the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Overall questions, when is this thing going to be finished? Crystal ball.
The fall of 2016.
Fall of 2016.
The schedules, all of these schedules between Minnesota and Wisconsin were all coming, being complete sometime summer, fall of 2016.
Okay. And as far as what kind of use is this bridge going to be getting, is expected? Because I-94, you know, there's a massive amount of people that go over that bridge. Some have said or some people have questioned whether we need something this big. I mean, that debate's been hashed out already. But what kind of traffic flow per day are we expected to see on the St. Croix River crossing?
The projections, I believe, were in the range of about 20,000 per day is what we had. And it showed that two lanes in each direction was the size the bridge should be built to.
Right.
I think right now we're at, I think the lift bridge is about 12,000, 13,000 a day, something like that.
Sure. Yeah, and again, the overall reason for why we're doing this or the big push was, you know, the lift bridge is there, but what's wrong with the lift bridge, I guess?
Well, the lift bridge is, it's a safe bridge. We inspect it every year, make sure it's all in good working order. But the age, there's corrosion at places we plated it over. It's also due to the lifting. We have to lift for boats, and so the boats become a priority to traffic. We also have, I don't know if most people know, but pedestrian safety is important, and that is the worst location in the state of Minnesota in the Stillwater proper because of all the pedestrians in that area with the traffic using the bridge. Mm-hmm. So it's very critical from a number of transportation standpoints why we need to have a new crossing for this location.
But the bridge, the Stillwater Bridge, the iconic Stillwater Bridge, you guys, it's not like you're going to be tearing it down. It's going to have a new life. And so if you could tell us quickly about the loop trail that's part of this plan.
So part of the project is a 5.2-mile loop trail. It's going to go over the new bridge, down along Stillwater, over the lift bridge, and then back up to the Wisconsin portion of the project and along the Wisconsin portion. So basically that loop. The lift bridge is a critical part of that, part of our agreement with the stakeholder group to have that bridge stay. And so after the new crossing is open, the next year we will spend about a year rehabbing that bridge, getting it ready for pedestrians and bicycles only, ADA compliant, so cutting curbs and get rid of some of the joints and things, paint it and get it back to a condition that now with the roadway traffic off of it, not applying salt to it, it should have a much better chance to last a very, very long time.
And how long? Like, 'cause I know that the salt was killing it.
Yeah.
But is there any kind of projections, even a guess?
Well, we know from time that bridges like this can last another 100 years. Hmm. Part of the problem is the mechanical and electrical for the lifting. It's still going to have to lift because there's still the boat traffic underneath. So right. That will be the major cost component in the future of keeping that piece updated.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take our first break. We're going to switch out some guests. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for the discussion. We've just heard from Tim Mason. Tim is the Northwest Region Project Supervisor for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And Kevin Western is the Design Director for the St. Croix River Crossing Bridge Project. That is under construction right now, expected to be complete by fall or summer of 2016. So keep an eye on it. Well, also check out the website, Google St. Croix River Crossing Project for the latest information. You can look at some cool webcams and all that good stuff. This is the West Side. When we come back, we're going to hear from some local government officials on the Wisconsin side that are doing some pretty interesting planning things right now in preparation for when the bridge is completed. It's expected to add some growth in far western Wisconsin. This is the West Side. We'll be right back in just a bit. Even though construction of the St. Croix River crossing won't be completed until late 2016, local governments on the Wisconsin side of the river are already preparing and planning for growth that's expected to follow the bridge's completion. Joining me now to talk about it for this half hour, you know, running until the top of the hour, are three people on the forefront of this planning. First, I'd like to welcome St. Croix County Planning and Land Information Supervisor Brett Boudreau. Thanks for joining us, Brett.
Yes. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to introduce St. Croix County Board Supervisor Agnes Ring, whose district covers the town of St. Joseph, which is the landing spot for the bridge. Agnes, thanks for joining us, too.
Well, thank you.
And last but not least, we're joined by Mike Darrell. Mike is the administrator for the City of New Richmond, which will be the first larger city that travelers on the St. Croix, crossing the St. Croix River crossing, will meet as they head east on the new stretch of Wisconsin 64. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Glad to have you. So first off, I guess I want to start with Brett. And I understand that St. Croix County is going to be making some high-resolution images or doing some high-tech technology, something called LIDAR. Could you explain to me what LIDAR is?
Yeah, LIDAR is light detection and ranging. And what we're doing is flying an airplane over about 10,000 feet, shooting down 150,000 separate laser pulses per second. And with that information and data, we get a highly accurate land elevation data set. And with that data set, we're going to be able to use it for flood risk management, natural resource conservation, water quality monitoring. Because of the river and its scenic beauty and everything that goes along with it, fishing, water quality, and we want to make sure that the river stays protected, and we're going to be using this data to monitor water quality and also do some high-tech ways to locate features that might need mitigation.
Features as in like steep elevation changes, stuff where runoff can become an issue?
Yes, exactly. We want to control that runoff, phosphorus sedimentation into the river and other water bodies.
So has this been done in St. Croix County before, or is this brand new for, because in anticipation of this project, I guess?
This will be brand new for St. Croix County. A lot of other counties in Wisconsin have already collected LIDAR data. This was a good opportunity for St. Croix County to get this information and provide it out to other local governments, developers. Yeah.
All right. And so this so is this going to be in to try to keep runoff from like the highway project or the from the roads or the new housing developments or all of the above?
All of the above, not necessarily from this highway project, but from new developments, from agricultural fields.
Okay. So, I mean, as far as, you know, beyond the LIDAR, is how big of a deal is this for the county to be preparing for this? And maybe I can go to Agnes Ring for that one.
Oh, it's huge. You know, St. Croix County has a population of over 85,000 people, and the bridge, that $600 million bridge you talked about, is landing in a town that has about 3,800 people.
Yeah.
So for the last couple of years, a lot has been done. This LIDAR work is just going to be, it's just great technology to provide us a good base of information for almost every planning initiative that comes in development and natural resource protection process that comes in front of us. We've done, there's, you know, a little background on some of the things we've done in the last couple of years to get ready. Then we have some things we're doing right now and then have a plan for future, you know, in the future. One, we've done there has been a St. Croix County Farmland Preservation Plan adopted. A comprehensive plan was adopted. A new shoreland ordinance was adopted. About 2 years ago, we started a citizen participation plan for the St. Croix River Crossing Project. And now we're right in the beginning, and we're right in the process of doing a comprehensive rezoning in the town related to agriculture. In the next year or two, we'll be working with more of the residential uses. So we're also doing an economic impact analysis right now, and that's another foundational study that I think will provide us good information on the next before we take the next step.
Now, that impact analysis, the economic impact analysis, is that just for the town of St. Joe, or is that the whole area? Are other cities getting in on that?
It's for the whole area, it's just to look at mostly the corridor and what its impacts are and however far they reach.
Sure.
The town of St. Joe has hooked up, you know, added funds to that study to get more detailed information about what the impacts are specific to St. Joe town.
A reminder to our listeners, we're talking now about what local governments on the Wisconsin side of the border of the river, of the St. Croix River Crossing Project, are doing in preparation for what's expected to be some serious growth happening as more, I guess, of the Twin Cities area kind of spills over into the Wisconsin border and as more people move to St. Croix County to work in the Twin Cities. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Do you live in this area? Do you live along the river? Are you living in an area that's likely to be impacted by the St. Croix River crossing and the extra people it's likely to bring? What do you think about the prospects of growth or changes in the cities and towns you live in? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-228-5615. So, Agnes, for the town of St. Joe, this sounds like it's going to be somewhat of a bombshell for a town of 3,800 people to have, you know, an extra 20,000 or so passing through every day. That's going to be a big deal, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah, the town formed a river crossing advisory committee a couple years ago. The plan commission's been very active in planning for it. The town board has gotten very active. The town, there's representation on the, you know, the Highway 64 corridor project, water and wastewater project. So there's been a lot of work, and the town of St. Joe is very, you know, it's the culture of the town to be very active at local meetings. When you go to a town meeting in St. Joe, there's lots of residents there, and they're all involved. Or, you know, there's a lot of involvement. They did a survey back in, I think it was December, a townwide survey, and got a very, very high response rate on that town survey. And, you know, one of the things that people said is we want to protect the rural character. They like the rural character. There's a feeling they want to protect the rural character. And there's a little concern about the loss of that rural character. So they're and looking at, okay, when we plan, how do we plan for the impact of this, the business and the economic impacts of it?
Right, and there was that survey was conducted when, and isn't there going to be another survey of residents? Maybe that has to do with, I don't know if it's the economic impact analysis or what. But we talked before, and I jotted down survey of residents. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, the town did a survey. The county also did a survey, not specific to the. On the bridge project, but the town did a survey that was done last fall. So that was one of the first part of its planning processes.
Mm-hmm.
It's right now, the town is going through a scoping process to identify what should be included in its comprehensive plan update.
Right.
They're participating in the economic impact analysis. There's likely going to be some more specific study on what the population projections are. And another big thing, following up on the conversation that you just had regarding the loop trail. Both the county and the town will be involved with that. But one of the things, there's been a great deal of interest on the bike and pedestrian connecting that loop trail, you know, to the rest of Wisconsin, basically. So there's formed a St. Croix bike and pedestrian coalition group that's just been very active. And one of the things that both the town and the county are doing, we will be doing a bike and pedestrian trail or bike and pedestrian planning project. The town has already started planning for, you know, that's right ground zero, so they're already planning for what possible trails could connect from that loop trail going into Wisconsin.
And how big, I mean, something like a bike trail coming through St. Joe, I mean, are businesses eyeing that up as hey, this could be some tourism dollars or
there's a lot of excitement. In fact, we the county board just got 100% approval to pursue this grant application to do a very major bike and pedestrian planning project. I mean, these are very sophisticated planning tools, and this group is just very active and say, you know, we've had speakers come before the county board and they're talking. It's a coalition of local units of government and bike enthusiasts, and there's a lot of excitement about how much tourism that could lend to tourism. And, you know, there's just concern about safety, bike commuting, all of the opportunities that go with it.
If I could go back to the economic impact analysis, and Brett, I'm not sure how involved you are on that, but what are some of the things that the Agnes mentioned, the corridor, looking at the corridor to see how big of an impact that might be on local communities and the county. But what are some of the specifics, if you've got them, that this study was going to be looking into?
Well, there's five basic components of the study. We're going to be studying literature of other places that have had similar projects, what the professional education is about that. We're going to be looking at comparable sites. St. Louis, Missouri had one. Looking at a bridge in Shakopee, Minnesota, and what some of the results of that were. As Agnes said, focusing in on St. Joe also and what it could mean there. Also, finally, going to be developing a cost of community services program where the local communities can sort of do a plug-and-play application to see what a new development might mean for local taxes, for local schools. So that's what the study is going to entail. A big piece will be determining what kind of population projections we think are going to occur. Because St. Croix County has been such a fast-growing county, mm-hmm. and then with the sort of economic slowdown of the last few years, those numbers have shifted a little bit. So getting an accurate population projection is going to be a big piece. We're working with the Wisconsin Applied Population Lab and then another demographer, so that we can get a couple of different opinions.
And the looking at the other bridges in the other communities, I mean, are we looking at bridges that are similar traffic volume or communities that have similar population densities on both sides of the river? What kind of comparisons can we get from a bridge in Shakopee versus a bridge that's not even built yet?
Yeah, those are the things we're looking at, is trying to find similar type projects with those things you just mentioned as far as population, amount of traffic flowing over the bridge, and, you know, just doing that research to find those locations. And I think we've got some pretty good comparables.
And when is that, that analysis expected to come out?
That'll be coming out this summer and fall as we continue on with this project.
All right. That'll be definitely something to follow up on, either for the show or some of the reporting that we have done on this bridge. Mike Darrow, I want to go to you now. I've heard that for the city of New Richmond, 2014 is the year of the plan. Is that correct?
It is.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, it's a lot of what Brett and Agnes just mentioned. It's getting a good understanding of what the community sees today and into the future. So we've really been focused on, you know, at-ground issues, zoning, and below-ground issues with regard to, you know, our infrastructure and those types of things. So, you know, as you've heard, there's, you know, there's a lot of opportunities related to this bridge, and we want to be prepared with a good understanding of where we see our community, not just today, but into the future. So our focus this year is things like zoning and zoning updates, you know, how our comprehensive plan looks at zoning. We're focused on partnering, and I think that's a really big component of this whole process is not just from the county standpoint and the township standpoint, but all of us working together. I see this as a once-in-a-generational opportunity to, you know, do really sound planning and market analysis, things like connectivity on a trail system to get to that Stillwater Bridge. Working together is a big key to this entire process.
And as far as zoning and rezoning and comprehensive plans, I mean, what things would have to change? Why are you expecting a certain kind of growth in a certain sector, residential or manufacturing, to the point that you're looking to tweak the plan based on that?
It's not tweaking it. It's actually we're going to actually just repeal the most of the entire ordinance. So it's looking at, you know, you can see with the city of New Richmond that's grown, you know, through the past decades, what's worked and maybe some new opportunities. When we just had a developers forum about 3 weeks ago, one of the things that developers and real estate agents talked about was how important trails and connections to other areas of the city are. To a quality, you know, sense of place. And so some of those things that may or may not have been in our zoning ordinance or may need to be highlighted as a part of our new ordinance are things that we want to, again, as it relates to potential growth, we want to make sure that we have.
Do you have any numbers or any idea, does anyone have any idea of what kind of growth you're going to see in New Richmond? And I guess I can go to Agnes too, for that matter, but or the whole county. Is there, because I know that there's been some housing developments going up in New Richmond. I'm not sure if it's whether it's in anticipation of this project or just growth in general, but I mean, what is New Richmond going to look like in 20 years?
I can mention, one of the things that Agnes mentioned was the economic impact study, and I think our hope, along with the county and certainly St. Joseph, is to, you know, see what that report through, I believe, the University of Wisconsin Extension has to offer and what some of the findings of that report. And I'm not sure, Agnes, if you know the timeline of that, but hopefully we'll have a little bit more details related to growth as it comes out of that economic development study.
Right. I think by in the fall is when the report is to conclude. You know, one of the St. Croix County is the fastest growing county in the state of Wisconsin. People know a lot about that. A report recently talked about that's going to continue for the next 30 years. Those projections don't take into account the impact of this specific bridge.
Right, and but that impact, I mean, we're talking overall, but that impact is going to be more localized, I would think, right?
Yes, we expect it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this economic, the report, the economic analysis part of it is, you know, looking at what preferences are, what market trends are as far as how development is likely to be impacted. That's included in this, along with the costs of, you know, the costs of growth and the revenue associated with it, that kind of thing.
Right. I think I was just going to bring that up, actually. The growth is a good thing all around, but it costs money for these local, you know, for the town of St. Joseph or the city of New Richmond to trench out new utilities and et cetera. So is there any kind of building of that into budgets yet?
That's what the big investment that I think all the local units of government are doing right now is, one, just doing analysis and studying and just setting the infrastructure up so we do, so the development does pay its way, and it's the kind of development that suits what the local units of government want. I mean, so there's the planning, there's the zoning, there's and then some very detailed work has to be done both at all local units of government, county and city and town and village.
And, Mike, I understand that there's some kind of a plan or some kind of a study going into the 3564 corridor, and it has to do with the wastewater and stormwater?
Yeah, there's a couple groups. We're active right now in the mitigation funding for water and wastewater. So this is, again, a collaborative effort between, you know, St. Joseph and Somerset, going all the way to Richmond and Star Prairie and certainly New Richmond as well. It's a great opportunity working with both the county and the DOT and the DNR to look at regional analysis and planning related to both water, wastewater and water projects, and the environmental impacts, economic impacts related to, you know, those two important projects as well. So we're in the infancy part of that project, but I will tell you, just, I think a big part of that process isn't so much water and wastewater. It's really getting to know our neighbors, and that's been, for me personally, getting to know some of the other managers and administrators and staff has been really important. I think that good relationships will foster other collaborative efforts as well.
That's pretty interesting that a project like this, I mean, the stakeholder group is huge for the St. Croix River Crossing project. That's one way to get people together. But now that you're all going to be facing some of the same issues with this growth, and for New Richmond, Mike Darrow, do you expect this bridge or the influx of people that it brings to change the way, you know, your town or your city looks or change the feel of it? I mean, it's a small town right now or a small city. Do you see this thing turning into a suburbia of Minneapolis?
You know, we want to make sure that we create a community that fosters the community that we have. And I think that's what's really interesting and unique about the city of New Richmond. We've got, beyond the technical college and our airport and our golf course and the regional hospital and great school system, we have a really unique sense of place here. And that's really important. We have an authentic downtown, really active community, and you can't just build those things. When we go back to the history of how New Richmond started and kind of how it progressed, the one big thing that's always stood as the foundation here is a sense of community. So whatever our community looks like in the future, it's going to be based on what the community wants. And I think that zoning and some of the other partnerships, and obviously our very progressive council and mayor and utilities have fostered that as well. So I'm not sure. I always tell people when they ask, you know, is the bridge going to have an impact? What I can say is that we're going to be prepared, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people, we're going to be prepared for growth. So that's where we're at.
And Brett Boudreau, I'm wondering, for the county as a whole, do you see this, you know, this growth or this bridge leading to, say, more urban sprawl, more pressure on farmland in that area to be sold for residential purposes?
Well, yes, I mean, there will definitely be that pressure, but with that local planning efforts that have gone on, with the farmland preservation planning effort that has gone on that Agnes mentioned, we're hoping, you know, to be able to mitigate some of that. And I think in a broader sense, like Mike mentioned, it has brought these communities together and, you know, helped them to think a little more regionally and to assess those impacts at a little bit larger level than just their local town or village.
All right. Well, unfortunately, with that, we've got to go. Our time is running short. I want to thank my guests for their discussion this second half hour. We're talking about the St. Croix River Crossing Project. Agnes Ring is a St. Croix County Board Supervisor whose district covers the town of St. Joseph, the landing point for the St. Croix River Crossing. Thank you very much, Agnes. Also, a big thanks to Mike Darrow. Mike's the administrator of the City of New Richmond, which is one of the big first stops for larger cities, as larger cities are concerned, from the bridge. And Brett Boudreau is a county planner with St. Croix County. Thank you all so much for the discussion. Also, big thanks to Kevin Western and Tim Mason for the first half hour. Thanks for the call. And tune in next Monday morning. We're going to be looking ahead to Veterans Day. We're going to be talking with some local veterans, some veterans officers, service officers. So do stay tuned. That's next Monday morning at 10 o'clock on the West Side. Until then, have a safe and productive week. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll chat again next Monday morning.